Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
In our house, and we got a place we kind of call a den. It's nothing more than a little step down area in what used to be the garage. And before we got there, they turned it into a room, got a fireplace. And we have family pictures that are on the wall there. And oftentimes I find myself looking at that wall and thinking how time has changed. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate with me a little bit. One of those pictures is one with my mom, my dad, and my siblings in that picture. And it was taken at my Uncle Cecil's graveside funeral. The funeral was in Sweetwater. I did the graveside. And this one was at Brown Ranch Cemetery. How many know where Brown Ranch Cemetery is? Kinda. Yeah, it's. I'll give you a hint. You probably still won't know after I tell you that it's just due east of Fisk, Texas. That's where my dad was raised, population 10. And so it was a small place. And just give you a little more idea, it was definitely southeast of Coleman, Texas, which that's a little bigger city outside of Abilene. And so it's in that area that my Snyder family came from. But in this picture, my older brother and I are bookends with Mom, Dad, Jimmy, and Marie in the middle of that picture. And I look at that picture, and from that time that was passed, Dad passed away in 2000. And then Marie passed away in 2019. And then Mom passed away in 2022. And then Jimmy passed away in 2024. And I often look at that picture and think of the times we had when it was just us six growing up. Of all the memories that we had. We have good memories growing up as a family. And you know how it is, you start to reminisce a little bit in your mind, and that's what I do sometimes in the den when I have nothing to do. I just sit and look at those pictures. But I also think of which bookend will be next. Will it be Bobby or will it be me? I know that's weird thinking, but it's true. You know, because the reason I look at that is because all of us have been appointed to die. And that's reality. You know, sometimes we don't need to duck our head in the sand. We need to understand that is an event for each one of us in our lives. And I look at it and I think, okay, which one is it going to be? Will he go to my funeral or will I go to his? And you say, well, that's just bad thinking. I said, no, that's reality of it. I'll say some good things for him. But Hebrews 9:27 speaks of this very fact that it's appointed to all of us to die. And then judgment. But then another thought often enters into my mind is that all of them, all of my family that I grew up with, know exactly what happens when you breathe your last breath. They've experienced, they've went through it. There's no doubt, there's no opinions. It is real for what they now know. We that are here, however, do not know all there is about death. We don't know every little detail. We don't know every little thing that it says about death or that moment in our lives. Because 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." In other words, what we have in the Word of God, we don't have all the pieces of everything that's going to happen. We have things that God chooses to give us that should stir faith up in our hearts, in our lives, in what happens when a person dies. I wish, how many of you like me sometimes wish that God would had a detailed plan on every little thing in our lives that we knew exactly what to do? Can I tell you, if he would have written something like that, we would have paid it no attention. We wouldn't have followed the rules. Well, God says it's over. We'd still go about doing like we want to do. Can I say this morning, it's been said that it's better to act on what we know than what we suspect. I've had conversations with people that had brought accusations against other people, and I'm thinking, you really do not know what you're saying. You don't know that to be a fact. You are just suspecting what you're saying. And I've always found it's better to wait till you know what's happening before you start to do something about it. Patience has to play in. Because how many times have you or I wished we would have never went there because what we thought really was not true? Three of you. Come on now, let's be honest this morning. We've all made that mistake, jump to conclusions when it really was not what was going on. So when it comes to death, we should act on what we know to be true. On what we know to be true. And there's nothing more absolute truth than what we read in the Bible. The Bible's been here way longer than any person that you can text, any person that you can call, any person that you can email. The Bible has outlived all of them. The Scripture is absolute truth. Now, are translations the exact translation? No, they're not exact translation, but they're the best they can be for the way we speak. Some translations are easier to read. I used to read nothing but the King James. I haven't read that one in quite some time, and now when I read it, I just get all tongue-tied. I think, I'm going to read a King James this morning. All right? Because I've been reading the New King James for quite some time, and the New Living Translation is a good translation, but I'm going to tell you, those are just translations. The living Word of God is absolute truth. And that's where we should look at when it comes to death. for what we know. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in all, eternal in heaven." Listen, did you hear what it said? "For we know." We know. So I want you to keep that in mind throughout this message this morning, is that we know. How many know we can know by faith? We know it in our heart. We know what the Word of God is saying. We know what the Spirit saith to you. Spirit of God. So what we find in this verse, we know that the body we occupy is only temporary. It is only temporary. Our body is referred to as a tent or a house. Both can become a home, yet both can be destroyed. The house or the tent, whichever way you want to look at yourself, I'm telling you today that it is perishing. Paul tells us in this previous chapter, in one of the verses, that our outward man was perishing. In other words, we are born to die. I know I'm bringing you down already this morning. But I'm just wanting to express some truth this morning, that sometimes we forget that what we have here is temporary. See, it's a truth about every person that has been born. Even the wisest man that was ever born succumbed to this very thinking. If you read Ecclesiastes, he says, hey, everything is in vain, because we're all headed to the same place. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you've got a spot waiting for you, and that spot comes through death. It's the reality of life, and it's the understanding. I know some do not like to talk about death, but I believe we need to understand death, and I believe we need to talk about it, because all of us are headed that way one day. Nobody has escaped it. Jesus died upon the cross, but he was resurrected. I believe this also, because some of you younger folks are going right now in your own mind, because I can hear you. Not me. I'll be young forever. I want you all to look at, I used to be young. But the older you get, the more you realize that time is running out. I heard the other day that middle age, I don't want to offend any of you, middle age is 38. See, some of you just looked at, wow, I'm middle-aged. It used to be everybody thought of 50, but no, middle age is 38. Life expectancy for a man is 74 years old. I'm just saying, and the Bible says if you get any more than 70, it's just a bonus for your life. And it comes with all getting to know all the doctors. It comes with getting familiar with Medicare and all of this care business and all of that. I don't know why it's a bonus, but it seems to be. But all of it is happening to all of us in the same way. Our tent, which I like the way Paul referred to that, is because a tent is something that is temporary and it will not last forever. A tent in the panhandle does not last long at all. I had one. We did the boys and men's camp out at Lake Meredith. That was the end of my tent. The wind took it and folded it down like a taco. Broke my poles. Did the church refund me? No. That's all right. But now I got a teepee. But I'm just saying today, our bodies, if we really realize what's happening to them, we are slowly becoming what Paul talks about. Paul also speaks in 1 Corinthians 15 about, O death, where is thy sting? And then he says the sting of death is sin. And I like that, the way he words that. Meaning, although we are saved and blood washed, these fleshly bodies must die. And he says death, the sting of death is sin. Why do we say that? The reason is given in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Hear what it says. For I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what is for to last forever. The reason it must happen, the reason it must be, is because these bodies was born into sin. These bodies were born into the curse of sin, and there must be a transformation. There must be something that takes place. And the reason it says it's just a sting is because it doesn't last just a second. How many of you have ever been stung before? I have. Can I tell you what is being spoke of this is what Paul is saying, that all of us must die, but my friend, we shouldn't worry about that moment or that second of it, because it's nothing more than a sting that sin has brought upon that body, but it will last for eternity the next phase. One moment you feel the bee sting, the next moment you're healed for eternity. Come on now, I'm preaching some good stuff. And that's literally what it speaks of when we talk about death. For the Christian, it's nothing more than a sting. No swelling up. No rush to the ER. You're just going to be rushed to the glory of God. Amen? All pain is done instantly, is what Paul describes. Now, death comes in many ways. It can come in a vehicle wreck. It can come in accidents. You can be murdered. One of the first deaths that we read about in the Bible was a brother killing a brother and thought God didn't know about it. But his blood screamed out for him. It can come into disease, whether it's health or bad health. And, you know, I thank God this last month, July the 16th, I celebrated 10 years since I had a heart attack. Praise God. Amen. God gave me another 10. Give me another 40. That'd be on up there, wouldn't it? I forgot how old I was. But it can come in many different ways. There's so many different ways that death can come. There's no sense of worrying about how death may come into a person's life as long as we understand and long as we act on what we know as a Christian. And this is what Paul's saying. Paul didn't give death any thought because he understood it. He knew about it, and he lived according to the knowledge that he had. Listen, death can come through calamities or pearls or even natural things that happen to us. But the thing is, it will happen to all of us, each and every one of us, eventually. Paul understood that this could happen at any moment, but he refused to fear because the thing that he knew about death. He refused to fear it because he understood what would take place. See, we also know that if this body dies, we have another suit waiting. Amen? Paul knew that. Paul's writing this. He says he understood that. He understood we're dying. It's temporary. But he said, if it dies, I have a heavenly suit waiting for me. Hallelujah. It's going to be tailored just right to fit. How many like tailored clothes? I had a man in my church in Stinnett. He says, Pastor, if you'll hop on the plane with me, we'll fly to Houston, and I'll get you a tailored suit. And I said, well, I don't think I really need that. I didn't go. But I appreciate the offer. But, this suit that is waiting for us is a heavenly body, not an earthly body. Paul spoke of it. Yeah, you're dying, but let me tell you, you're going to have a change of clothing. Hallelujah. And it's going to look good. I won't have to go to my wife and say, how does this look? It's going to look good. Amen. What God puts on us for eternity is going to be sharp. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. And Paul said, listen, I know that old thing's dry and it's going to die and give up the ghost one day, but it's not the end of it. We've got something waiting on us called the heavenly body, the heavenly suit that God has given us. See, because your earthly body, as I said earlier, is born to die. Yet this heavenly body, what we read in Scripture, will never die. It will continually go forward. Why? Because it is made with eternal hands. This is not some tailor on earth that has whipped out this new body of clothing for you, but God himself has sat there and knitted it with eternal hands. And what he sews together will last forever. Hallelujah. It's not going to be, hey, a consumer market where they make stuff to go bad after 2 years. God's whipping this body out for you that will go on forever. No need of warranty. God has already put the stitch of eternity into it, and it will be there forever. That body. What an amazing thing that it's going to be for you and me. It's going to be an amazing suit or body that we will put on. It will all happen at the rapture of the church. You want to know when it's going to take place? It's there. God's going to call for that moment when he sends his son to get us, and the rapture takes place, and those that are in the grave, their new resurrected body will meet them in the air, and we will be changed in an instant, in a twinkle of an eye, and we will have that new body on. That's when it's going to take place. Listen, having this knowledge can cause some mixed up emotions. When we think about the knowledge that we have, it can bring some mixed up emotions, because I seen some excitement in y'all's eyes when I started talking about those eternal bodies. The desire to occupy the heavenly body while we are still living in this earthly body. Paul was struggling. If you can imagine the man of God that wrote a lot of the New Testament, he's struggling betweenst the two. To stay in the earthly body or to grab a hold of the heavenly body. Can I tell you, death should be at God's timing in our life. Amen? We shouldn't rush it. We shouldn't desire it. It should be at his timing in our life. Paul was having some mixed emotions if you read what he says. Paul understood the reality of what happens at death, because why? He knows what's happened. How many know what happens at death now? So much that it stirred his emotions up so much that he wanted to be in that heavenly body. Amen? I can think of that moment, what it's going to feel like having that heavenly body and how sharp I'm going to look. Amen? Just me. Okay. But I just for a moment, it is reality and it is what we know. Amen? I'm going to act on what I know, because I believe that's what we should do. 2 Corinthians 5:2-4 says this, "For this we groan." That word groan means he is really having a struggle inside of himself, because he understood, he knew it so much that it was something that was real in his life. It was moving his emotions, thinking, my word, you mean I won't have this aching body anymore? I'm going to have a body with no pain. Hallelujah. It was moving Paul. He was groaning. He says, I want to be in that body. Because it's real. It's something that we know in the Word of God. And then he says, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I love that. Habitation, that means something that we're going to move into. It's not temporary. It's something that we're going to move in forever. He says, I earnestly, that means he seriously wants to. How many of you have ever put earnest money up? That means you're serious. He says, I earnestly desire. This is not just, hey, that was a great sermon, Pastor. It stirred me up a little bit. This is something that Paul said. I earnestly am desiring to be clothed in that heavenly body. Why? Well, you're talking to a man that had been beaten almost to 39 stripes. You're talking to the man that went through many shipwrecks. I mean, you're talking to a guy that's been hurt physically. Why? For the gospel of Jesus. I would be thinking, I'm ready to get out of this body too. Amen. Sometimes you've about had all you can handle, and you think, God, oh, I'm ready to leave. You know, we call that escapism. This is not what Paul is talking about. He is saying, I want so much to be in the presence of the Lord in this new body. It's something that he's desiring, something that he's wanting with his heart. I think sometimes we don't really think about a whole lot of, or we don't meditate, or we don't ponder enough on what we know about what the Bible says. When's the last time you thought, just took a few moments thinking what it's going to be like to leave this body and be in the new one? I would suspect a lot of times we think about the sadness that's going to happen about leaving this earth versus the wonderful, beautiful new body that we're going to receive. I see Paul, he's in between this, because he says in verse 3, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, now listen to what he says, because I want to set something aside. It's all right to desire that heavenly body, but he says, for we are in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. Listen, the whole way that is worded, he says, I'm groaning, I'm burdened, not because I want to die. To be unclothed, he's talking about taking off his earthly body and putting on the heavenly body. He says, I'm not groaning for that reason. Listen, and a lot of times that's why people want to die. They're groaning because they're tired of this earth, they're tired of the things on the earth, and they're wanting to be in heaven forever. I get that. Sometimes life may put you there, but that's not why Paul is writing this word. He's got another thing that's motivating him. He knows that to be absent of the body is to be in the presence of the Almighty God. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus that is still moving in Paul's life. The presence of Jesus in his life is what he's looking at. He's not saying, hey, somebody shoot me so I can go on. He's saying, hey, I understand. The reason I'm groaning and mourning, I understand with such a depth, with such a conviction. I mean, you know, when you have conviction in your life about something, you believe it. He believed it so strongly that it was stirring him up emotionally. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, he had an experience on the Damascus Road that he met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he just can't get it out of his mind, out of his thoughts, of what it felt like to be in the splendor and the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm telling you. Do you still remember when you met Jesus? Do you still want that presence of God in your life today? Woo! Excuse me. That presence of the Lord. Paul's wanting that. That moment of one-on-one. Because he says not to, he gives us something that I believe in this scripture that brings peace of mind to us about death. He doesn't say, he says this, for we are in this tent groaning, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but feather clothed. Unclothed means to be out of the body, but he's groaning to be feather clothed. Can I tell you, that should bring peace into our hearts and understanding something about death, is that I put off one and I put on another. I put off one, I put on another. He is wanting to, he's not groaning to die, but he's wanting to put on the new, is what his concept is and what he knows. And it's something that gives us revelation also. I think about this because is it scriptural? I believe it is. Because oftentimes we look at death as if it's the end. When I do a graveside, I say, this is not it. This chapter just closed. It's just a new chapter into that person's life. And it's hard for us to grip it, but even for us that are remaining, even us that are still here on earth, if we start to grab a hold of what we know and we're convicted about what we know, then we understand, will we get sad? Do I have those moments of mourning? Yes, I do. But let me tell you, you know what brings me out of that mourning? It's because I know that my family had put on another clothing, another body, in the presence of the Lord. Now listen, I know the Bible says to be out of the body is to be the presence of the Lord. And all those in heaven right now don't have that resurrection body yet, but they are there. They get that body I'm talking about when Jesus comes back on the rapture. Just want to get that clear in case you're thinking I'm preaching something that's not right. Now listen to this. How can we tie something together with that? John 11, 25 and 26, famous story. Lazarus has just died. He's been in the grave 4 days. In the Bible, I love it, and King James says he stinketh. He's been there. But Jesus is having a walk with Martha. And Jesus made this statement that corresponds with what Paul is speaking of. He says this, Jesus said to her, because she is weeping for her brother, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And listen to what else he says. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never, everybody say never, never die. Whoever believes in me shall never die. The sting of death is sin. It's just for a second, but we keep on living. That loved one of yours never died. If they're in the blood of Jesus Christ, they just went from one body, and oh, they're waiting for that new body. But I'm saying today, hallelujah, they are alive today. They are living today. Oh, why? Because of Jesus Christ and what he did in their body. Amen, amen. I don't know about you, but it's getting closer. My knee goes out more often than I do. I'm ready. But I'm going to tell you, we got to work. Like I got to finish this message. This tent might be destroyed, but he keeps on living. We keep on living and living with a new body in heaven. Come on, church, our perspective must be eternal because we are eternal people and we preach an eternal gospel and we preach eternity to those that come to the Lord. Our thinking, what we know, must be wrapped up in eternity because of what God has given us. Hey, we also know that this is God's plan for us. This is God's plan for us. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Did you hear that? He who has prepared us for this very thing. How many know when something is prepared for something, it's a plan for that thing? God has prepared us for this moment. He's prepared us for that moment of that transformation, that moment of vacating and occupying. He's preparing you and me right now. His word prepares us because he helps us to know what is going to take place. Listen, I have watched many people in the years of pastoring come to this point of leaving, more than I would like. But I'm going to tell you, somewhere in that journey between preaching a message like this and what the Word of God says, God had prepared them for that moment. The God who's planned us for that moment is not took away because of some accident that comes up. He has prepared that Christian for that moment, not for the accident, but to be prepared for that moment of leaving. And sometimes we get lost and think, why did God? God doesn't bring bad. God makes good out of bad. God knew that there's going to be accidents. God knew that there's disease ever since sin has come into this world. But he is preparing us for that moment to leave these bodies. It is God's plan for me to die and to live forever. Hallelujah. That's what he's done in our lives today. His plan. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, the devil done this. No, God's plan for us is to live forever. And I've watched the peace. I can name a few, but I don't want to do that. But I've seen the peace upon some people's face when that last breath. As who? Jesus comes and takes their hand. Why? Because God had prepared them for that moment. I worked a wreck one time and with a friend of my dad's, and he was in the pickup and the wreck is a head-on, killed three people that night. I crawl in because all the other firemen didn't want to go in, said, we have to go in there. I said, yeah, we do. Somebody's got to get them out. I crawl in there, and the man that was driving, I we didn't know who it was. And when I got in there, I thought, oh, my word, this is my dad's friend. But I've never seen a head-on collision. I've never seen such peace on a man's face. And listen, I've seen different faces in different wrecks, and this one just blew me away. I never will forget the peace that was in that man's face that day. He was one of the best friends also to my pastor, Ray Cook. I'm just saying, God has prepared us for this. He's preparing us. If we struggle with it, talk to God, because he prepares us for that moment of that time. I can tell you amazing stories, but I've also witnessed the unexpected death of some and find that same pace as which I just shared about that man. See, the scripture tells us the way we know and what we read is true. And the reason we know what we read is because of the Holy Spirit helps us to understand it. You want to know what? The reason I know the Bible's true, because I have the guarantee of the Spirit living in me. That's why you don't think like the world anymore. It's because you got the Holy Ghost in you. Amen? You have the Anointed One living in you. And he helps us to know what the truth of God. He drives it on home inside. That's why I love preaching. I know some people don't like preaching, but I like preaching. I like listening to preaching also. See, he's not planning on leaving us in these mortal bodies, but planning on giving us the immortal bodies, and he has already put up the earnest money for them, and he is called the Holy Spirit. How do I know that I'm going to get this new body? Because he's already gave me the Holy Ghost. How many, if you've ever sold a house, how many of you have ever sold a house? You knew somebody was serious when they gave you the earnest money, the down payment, the guarantee, you knew something was there. We have that down payment from heaven, which is called the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to give you a new body, a new place to live. Hallelujah. So listen, we accept his plan for us through faith in what we know to be true. Amen? We accept his plan for us through faith in what we know to be true, because Paul says, so we are always confident. Listen to that. Could you imagine Paul saying we're always confident? Paul was in a lot of tight situations, but he was always confident in what he knew. How many of you, you're not confident many times when you don't know about the thing you've been asked to do? Confidence comes from knowledge. Confidence comes from experience. Paul says we are always confident. Why? Because we know. Let that soak in for just a moment. Knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, for we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent of the body and to be present with the Lord. That whole statement says, hey, death is not really a big deal to me. Why? Because he knows. And in that knowledge, he has confidence to live his life for God. Imagine he had a little doubt. I don't know when that snake jumped out of the fire, bit him. How many of you remember that story in the Bible? After the shipwreck, survived all that horrible deal, and then the natives thought he must be cursed. But you know what Paul did? He shook it off. Now, I wouldn't have done that. Somebody suck that out for me, please. But Paul did. He wasn't too worried about dying. He knew he was in the work of God, in the work of kingdom. I believe over in Mark chapter 16, that's what that all speaks about, drinking poison and stuff while you're in the working for God. Yeah, I don't believe you need to handle snakes. But here we have that. We know where we are and where we are headed, is what Paul's saying. We know where we are in this temporary bus, but we know where we're heading. That shouldn't scare us, but it should, in one sense, mix us up a little bit about wanting to be there. No anxiety about death, no fretting over it, just understanding in what we know by faith to give us the confidence and the strength that we know to face tomorrow. There's an old hymn, it says, "Everybody will be happy over there." How many of you remember that? All right. It's a good one. It says, "There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved earth shall soon their glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live forever. Everybody will be happy over there." And then it repeats, "Everybody will be happy over there." I can't remember the rest of that chorus, but anyhow, but I'm just saying, everybody will be happy over there. Why? Because we will have made that transformation from this old temporary body there. His plan for us. Therefore, we also know that if we be here, or if we be there, we need to be living to please Him. Now I'm at the heart of my message with 4 minutes to go. Therefore, we also know that if we be here or if we be there, we need to be living to please Him. Either place. Listen, our goal should be to live a God-pleasing life, knowing what we know. Knowing what God has done. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." Whether we are present or absent, meaning in heaven, we make it our goal to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing means pertaining to that which causes someone to be pleased. Who are we talking about? We're talking about God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that we should be pleasing to Him whether we're here or where we're there. Listen, I'm going to do this real quick because church culture today is more about pleasing man than it is God. That is not based on what we know in the Scripture. Even many Christians are all wrapped up in the things that are pleasing for them and not the things that are pleasing for God. That is not based on what we know in Scripture. See, we should act on what we know the Word of God says. John F. Kennedy said this, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." That's a saying that's been there since the 60s. I heard someone put it like this, "Ask not what you can do for your church, ask not what the church can do for you, ask what you can do for the church." But how about this? "Ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for God." A life-pleasing life unto God. Live to please Him is what it's speaking about. Robin and I, we've been working in the church for many years. Like many of you, Lou and Pat and others that have been working in the church and for years. It was one of the first things that we did after we got saved. Why? I wanted to please God with my life. It's not just talking about serving in the church, or it's not just talking about serving here, but it's also in the way we live our life out in the community and all that we do, we should be pleasing unto God. Why? Because of the knowledge that we have. Paul says, whether I be absent or whether I be absent in the body or present in the body, either way, what they've come up with the conclusion with, whatever body I'm in, what if I'm in my heavenly or if I'm in my earthly, I'm going to please God with my life and the things I do. Pleasing God. That says also, Paul says, I'm really not worried about death because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to spend my time being pleasing unto my Father and unto my Lord and unto the Holy Spirit. Because we will all be judged. I'll finish with verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Can I tell you what that verse is for? That's for his people. That's for you and I as Christians. This is not, there's two judgments. One judgment seat we call the Bema seat, that is Jesus Christ. That's where all Christians go before the Lord, and we are judged for the things that we've done as Christians. The great white throne judgment is at the end of the millennium. We'll be talking about that on Wednesday night. All of us. I know it kind of makes you nervous knowing that God is watching us, but why not be pleasing, amen, unto God? All this brings it all down to that I need to please God with my life. I'll close with this. Death is a small thing when we put it in the eyes of what we know. Amen? Small thing when we put it in the eyes of what we know. Pleasing God while we are living here or living there should be our objective in life. And if I live to please him, I will hear these words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen? How many know we need more people living to please God? I get the cookie gospel that says, come and God's going to give you a cookie. But I'm going to tell you, God really wants us to be serving, working, until he takes us home. And I understand, I believe me, the older I get, the more I understand that the body doesn't do quite like it used to. But until it does, keep doing what you can. Amen. Don't let death mess you up. Live like you got a place to go. Amen? Stand with me this morning. Again, I heard Gunner let y'all out early. I'm trying to take some of that time back. Isn't God good? You know, we love his plan for us in many things in our life. We like to quote Jeremiah, that God has a plan. But if you really put that in content, that is talking about Israel, that they will live. But you can take the thought of it, because he does have a plan for each one of our lives. But one of those plans, realize, when you think about death, one of the plans is that we all do that. But it is a good plan. Amen? It's a good plan. Because out of that, we get to put on a new set of clothing that will never wear out. Every head bowed just for a moment. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to go if God was to call you right now? Everybody is ready. Raise their hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, today we thank you. Father, we praise you. Lord, we're thankful at this thing that happens to each and everybody, for the odds are one out of one. Father, we know those odds, Lord, and we see it, God, not just your word speaking of it, but God, it's very real in our lives as we have lost family members, friends, God, and different things. We understand it to be true, God. And Lord, I pray today that in this house, God, today, that we will live our lives from what we know, that we bring joy from what we know, God, and that you let that joy just resonate in our spirit and in our heart. And Lord, let it be part of us, God. Let us be found to be servants of yours, God, pleasing unto you in all that we do. Now, Father, may you bless each person here today. Pour your spirit out upon them, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.